Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight.
That's right. The Bible doesn't condemn gays.
I have a question of you that believe that gay is sin. When somebody asks you something about the verses that you think say gay is sin, how do you answer them? When you try to explain to somebody gay is sin, how do you do it? Do you say it's so simple? Do you say it's in the Bible? Do you say God hates it? Do you say it's a sin? Well, if you're saying these things, then God has to be saying it, and if God's saying it, it's in the Bible. And if you're saying it's in the Bible, then it better be in the Bible, don't you think?
Yeah, you know,
I'm well into my way towards my 23rd year on TV here. And I'm talking to hundreds of thousands of you. I'm online all the time chatting with many of you, hundreds, thousands of you over the years. And I go into Christian chat rooms. You know, they fill up to about 50 people per chat room. And there's quite a number of the chat rooms there. And since 1985, I've been going to these Christian chat rooms. And you know something? It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter that you have the most education in the Bible. It doesn't matter that you have the least education. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. One thing that is in common with everybody, I'm saying you, everybody, and I think I have a pretty good grasp on that when hundreds of thousands, years and years and years ago, I've counted up to 700,000 homophobes has come to me. I think I know what I'm talking about when I say, you that believe gay is sin, do not explain why. All you do is quote a verse. And then when you quote the verse, your emphasis or your thoughts is, you quoted it, and you often say, there it is, that's in the Bible, and what's in the Bible? And what did you quote? Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Well, that's not actually a quote. A quote would be, all of the men, old and young, all of the people came to Lot's house. So what do you got here? You got a tremendous number of people. We don't know for sure the population of these two cities. They are beginning to discover that locality in that time had quite a few people. It also had mothers and daddies and children. And they can't find that period of time in that location where there's just men. This just isn't there. But the Bible, the actual verse says, all the people. And then it goes on to say, when Lot says, don't do this wickedly. Well, wickedly is an interesting Hebrew word when we look it up. It literally means utterly break in pieces, to do harm, hurt, and all this kind of stuff. So if you can read, you ought to be able to explain how when Genesis 19:4 says, all the boys, all the grandpas, all the men, and all the men and women, because the people, the word the people, means people, doesn't mean male or female. You have to say how that became gay. Usually you will say because of the word to know. Now the Bible is rich with this kind of situation here. However, the combinations or the single word know, to know, in the Bible only has the Hebrew definition of quite long, two big paragraphs, that you're looking for information about something. Why'd you come here? We got rumors, you know, cell phone from our buddies over there where Abraham is, saying that these two angels are going to come over to this city. We want to find out about this. So they came to Lot's house to find out about it. Now, there's no problem with assuming sexual behavior, because there is enough information in those verses that they were literally going to do some sort of sex. Lot offered his daughters to be sexually raped, possibly to death, because he was going to be a good hostess. So, I mean, can't you at least think about what these words mean? There are other words like new. Now, in the Bible, when you read the paragraphs or the verses that has the word new, you get sex right in it. He knew his wife. And you know, you get something that you... They had babies because of it. But when you look at this word to know, you don't have this distinct connection to sex. Except when Lot says, I will give you my daughters. Now you can read information about Sodom. There's another book called Jasher or something like that. It was going to be put in the Bible, or at least it was amongst the books that they had when they were reviewing what were we going to put in the Bible. They didn't know that God was actually in charge, and they're going to finally put together the Bible that's going to be the way God wanted it. But in this process, they decided they're not going to use this particular book. People like to guess on maybe it was too graphic, and it was. Almost chapter by chapter, Jasher goes along with Genesis, and comes along Jasher 19, it goes on with what all of these men are doing. So it goes into detail to tell you about how they actually constructed beds on street corners, some short beds, some long beds. Then they would go out and kidnap men from other cities or guests that might come into the city, and they would place them on the bed. They would purposely place a short person on a long bed, because on that long bed they actually made devices that they could tie up their feet and hands and stretch them apart to fit the bed. And to fit the bed would mean you would pull the arms and legs off. Now they would purposely put tall people on short beds. So this means to make them fit the bed, they have to cut their legs off. And then of course they rape them to death. Now, you get some distinct behavior here. What I would really like to know is how you make this gay behavior. Because it seems like what you're just doing is you're saying, well, one of them's male and the other one's male, so it's got to be gay. But if you do that, then anything straight has got to condemn all of heterosexuality. Because that's what you're doing. You're saying, it's a man and a man, so therefore, every single gay person is condemned, because the Bible is saying how horrible this horrendous rape was. And concerning the angels, it was a gang rape. The only way, if those angels were human, they would die, because nobody can handle being raped by so many people. But you know, I can't get you to even tell me how you manage, you know, if this verse is really saying God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of homosexuality, then how come you cannot show me they were homosexuals? Because the historical record, everything, all this kind of stuff, there's men, women, and children. They had to have families, so all the city couldn't be this. We already know that there's conditions of heterosexuals that they join together and they definitely do rape anything in sight. We can go to any manner of prisons and find out that there is a very well-known psychological thing about men getting in there, and in their brains they are conceiving out to make some other man a woman, and their attitude out of prison was to dominate women anyway. That's their nature. So now they're in prisons, and so they are going to do the same. So they're going to change a man in their mind into a woman, so when they can, they don't have to think that they're gay. They can say, hey, they're just you. However that works, who can understand it? Go to the prisons and talk to their... But what I'm trying to say is, how do you get something like this to be gay? We know for an absolute fact that Hebrew men, heterosexuals, had families and kids, a lifetime of them, and yet they, in lots of them, they went down to the local fertility temple. They knew about if they had sex with their sacred male prostitutes, that they just might, you know, like gambling, we go to Las Vegas, maybe we'll win. Well, they're going to go there. They're not necessarily going to believe in the gods, as it were, but hey, maybe and so they go to these temples, and they find, they get however, and they go to sex with a sacred male temple prostitute. These are heterosexual men. There is a doubt in history about it. Paul actually turned. You know, we like to be tourists and go and see the sights. Paul turned this fertility temple, Aphrodite, the most famous great one. We had the ruins over there in Corinth. And in that temple was over 1,000 temple prostitutes. And in that temple was a row of statues. And one of the statues had the little thing that said, statue to the unknown God, so we'll cover our bases. We can worship this God in case we missed a God. And that's where later, Galatians, something like that, later on, Paul began to preach Jesus, saying, you even have a statue to the unknown God. And they say, this is a fact. You can't wish it away. It happened soon after Paul had toured the temple with over 1,000 temple prostitutes. He wrote the book of Romans. There's lots of history. I just can't possibly imagine how come that it is so difficult for you to explain why you think a word, a phrase, a verse is talking about gay people. In Romans 1, verse 26 and 27. Well, 26 and 27 comes after 24 and 25. And it's 24 and 25 that something happens that makes these men and women do things which you want to say is gay. Even though the description of detail says that vile passions and all this horrendous type of thing that make anybody sick, as it were, is somehow gay behavior. And your whole, again, your whole attitude is, well, there's a male and a male. But it's not just one. It's orgy-like. And guess what? It's not a simple orgy. It is directly related to fertility gods, ritual worship. The verse starts in verse 18, and it's describing adults because they had already known God and all that. They grew up, they knew all this kind of stuff. And they had to be straight because you're swearing upside down and backwards at 26 and 27 is gay. And so to get them gay, you have to go through 24 and 25. And what I'm saying, you can't get it, can you? You just can't get it. All you're interested in is seeing that 26 and 27 seems to be male-related. just pitiful about you guys. Why? Why can't you explain how you get? Don't you know who gays are? You know, the best example, look at your mommy and your daddy. Look at them. Look at yourself. Supposed to be so really great, wonderful, sexually great, correct, heterosexual. I bet you, you know yourself that you've got all kinds of sexual sin mixed inside of your otherwise halfway decent heterosexuality, because after all, you dated, you got married. And so, you know, you made it in the correct way, but you're not going to say that you went through, maybe a lot of you went to prostitutes, maybe a lot of you had 100 women, some we know's got 2,000, 3,000 women behind them. Others, you know, you go two, three of them, all you get divorces and everything, 60% of you get divorces and on and on and on. Marriage is complex. Marriage evolves. In Adam and Eve's days, marriage was between brothers and sisters. Then it advanced or evolved to cousins. Then you had to get into the more distant cousins, but you had to be in the same tribe, all the way up to Jesus' day. But then you could have as many as wives as you wanted. And on top of that, you could have your slaves. You could have concubines. Marriage evolved. Then in the first 1,000 years, marriage was you make babies with sex. That's all you do with your wife. You make babies for love and enjoyment of sex. You go to a concubine or a mistress. This was legal for 1,000 years. Doesn't matter about the Bible. What matters is you, heterosexuals, made this legal for yourselves. And you know why it's not legal now? Because in the 12th century area, 11th, 12th century, lots and lots and lots of pagans came to Christianity. We had this guy, St. Augustine, that had a fit attack about sex. And you know how he had this fit attack about sex? He saw this wealthy woman over here, and he wanted to marry her. But he had a concubine. You know, a woman for sexual use. So he fired her. This is the historical record. So he could marry her. And in this fit of whatever it is, maybe you want to call it conviction to get all holy and everything, so then he began to set up a set of circumstances to make it, sex out of the missionary position, basically sin. I mean, it is a complex issue when we're talking about sex, and yet somehow or another, you don't even seem to like you even have even an inkling of a concern about saying gay is sin. And you don't even hardly want to quote the verse. Why can't you explain the verses that you use to condemn gays? There's 14 of them. 7 of them use the word sodomite, which is a male temple prostitute. You know the prostitutes I were talking about earlier? So why can't you dial me up? There's a phone number there. You could explain to me. But you know usually what the phone calls I get? It's sin. You're going to go to hell. It's in the Bible. God hates it. These are the kind of, you might quote a verse. That's all you do. You don't sit there and say, you know, I've done research, and I found out that this word, in all the documentations of the past and everything, in Jesus' day and everything, actually meant homosexual. You don't do this, do you? You don't go into the Hebrew definition and give to me when you call me up or any email me or whatever. You don't say that this is what the Hebrew word means. Like you get sodomite. It says a male devotee by prostitution to licentious idolatry. Are you going to make the Hebrew for the word sodomite different? No, you like the word sodomy, which was invented in 900 A.D. to ban sex out of the missionary position. Oh, that you had explain. If you want, if you say, oh, you love the gay person, hate their sin, or whatever you like to use, only God could love somebody and hate their sin. Because when you hate their sin, you have no idea what their sin is. And you can't do anything about it except make it even worse for them and make them guilty and all that. The way that you try to say you love the person and hate the sin, make it impossible for the person to do anything about their condition, if they're indeed living in sin, or you just got your own world there, assuming it's sin. So why don't you do something new? You know, I need to develop my programs and my conversations with you to plead with you that you're so brilliant, you think I haven't read anything, and so you're so, why can't you explain? You know, I'm 60 years old. I've been around the block. I know a thing or two about the gays all around the world and in history and in Jesus' day and all that. I know the documentations about it. I know words that Jesus says that means gay is not sin because of the documentation of the meaning of the phrase of Jesus' day, of the tens of thousands of documents available in those days. A gay person is two people meet each other, they date, they fall in love, and they get married. You're just like heterosexuals. Now, there's all kinds of stirring in there because of circumstances. Straights have a lot of problem when they're mixed marriage between races. Straights have a lot of problem in different countries, as it were. All manner of things. Parents say, don't do this, don't do the other thing, and you do all kind of manner of things so that you could do your dating. I mean, you have all kinds of things, and then on top of that, you do actually go do things that you, some of you just absolutely put a sack over the woman's head, and it don't matter then, just have your way with them. I've heard that so many times from heterosexual men. But somehow, all together in that, you say, well, the Bible is just talking about that thing where two people meet. And the way we have love is not the way that love has been. The love came this way because I was telling you, remember, the pagans came to Christ and they brought their custom, their rituals. You could date and fall in love, pick who you want to love. A lot of problems in this. Families used to negotiate the match. But now you can pick your own from the 12th century onward, and there's lots of others that do in times past, but general. And they came to Christ, they brought their rituals, you know. You stand up there, man here, a woman here, and the priestess or priest to the fertility god stands there, and they make intercession to the gods and goddesses in your getting married. Then you go and you have your rituals, ceremonies after this, we call receptions today. Soon they gave them Christian names. And so later, we all assume that the way we get married and stuff is Christian in origin when it's not. Marriage evolves. Come on, people. If you want to condemn gays, don't look at a gay couple that's living basically like you are. And they met similarly as you met in your marriage. You know, two people meet each other, they date, they fall in love, they get married type of thing, and have all the troubles that everybody has in the process of this dating. Come on, people. Tell me the explanations of how you get gays into the Bible. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, that God rose you on the third day. Come into my life and forgive me my sins. Now ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. You'll be able to speak in other tongues. Ask him to heal yourself. Put your hand on that part that you have an ailment and say, in the name of Jesus, I command healing to it. See you next week.